When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When I talked to the staff before the game, the night before, you know, everybody was, I can say where they stay at now, because they at Western, everybody was at the bar having drinks. They was really, because they told me this. I didn't know this. They was like, Memphis is 2 and 3-point shooter percentages or something. I guess that was after the Virginia game. So
they were entering the, like, they were top five, I think, from three.
Okay.
They're good from two, but, like, their best was their 3-point percentage. Yeah. And even after Saturday, they're still 10th.
Yeah, so they was really, really nervous. Like, this is what the staff was like, oh, here, there. Oh, they're good, and I think Penny's coaching his best. And, you know,
yeah,
I will
say this.
They're
gassing him up.
They were, but I say this, Jeff, and I'm saying this humbly on the air. People know who I am. I don't get a lot of fluff from coaches. Like, we having real conversations at the bar. Like, we have a relationship. So, yeah, so it ain't like they're got a hype Penny. They'll tell me if they think another coach can't coach. They'll tell me if they think they about to, you know what I'm saying? They, like, know her. They are playing ball, and they were like, even though we're 10-1, we only think we're playing okay, because you think about it. They're borderline, even though they was 10-1, they kept keeping there. Put them in the top 25, take them out after a win. So that's how much people was impressed when they weren't overly – people are more overly impressed with Ole Miss. They keep moving up 18-16. Mississippi State was getting the raw end of the stick to be 10. You would think they was winning and falling back in the AP and stuff like that. So this was their best game to the people, you know. And so it was just – it was a bad storm, Jeff. Penny owned it. Not to jump away from basketball and not to take up a Penny on this, Jeff, because I know I'm included in the media now. But what I don't get is, and I guess I'd never get it because I'm a coach and I got to get used to it. We had just, first, they got their butt toe up. How the young folks say belt to butt is all I can say on the radio, but you know what they really say. But
BTA.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he done, everybody was saying this is his greatest coaching. You're up to the point, and I know, I don't want to take away from this segment, but I don't see how overnight we can get from that to firing again because you lose in a bad way to Mississippi State. But I think it got to be a look. Can we work our way up to losing five straight? How do we get to this is the best coach year he done had? And and I think, Coach, that's probably why they drop us so much when we lose, because we do it to ourselves.
Yeah.
We get on here and overbash ourselves.
It's kind of one of those situations where it's the same reason that it is a good job is the same reason that it can be a bad job.
Mm-hmm.
I have always felt we are way too dramatic with the Tigers in both directions.
Mm-hmm.
It's win two in Maui. Where are we? San Antonio this year?
San Antonio's final four.
We're booking trips to the Final Four. And then it's lose to Arkansas State. Here we go again. It's last year. It's, you know, why did I show up to watch us just get curb stomped by Mississippi State? Like, this is another one and done team. Like, hope it doesn't fall apart like it did last year. It's just we ride the emotional waves, good or bad. When in reality, it's like, all right, let's take a step back. They're 9-3. Is there a human being out here that if I would have offered you 9-3, including two wins in Maui. I'm even going to say, I'm not telling you which two wins. I'm not going to tell you that it ended up being UConn, who, by the way, turns out they're getting it together, that it was UConn and Michigan State. But if I would offer you 9-3 with the Ole Miss game to go, every single person out there would have taken it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that means, I don't know which games were going to be good wins, but there was going to be some good wins in there. Mm-hmm. And that means also, even if they lose Saturday, and I was of the opinion, John and I were talking on Friday night, because like the line came out, I was like, what do you make of that? And I was like, I think they're telling you State, they think State's the play.
Mm-hmm.
Because most metrics showed Memphis by 2 or 3, and it came out like Memphis by 1.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, it's like, oh, I've seen that one. That's when it's smaller than what you think it's going to be, that means they're minimizing the risk on the Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, listen, I've watched State play. I've watched Ole Miss play. I think the worst matchup for Memphis is Mississippi State because I think they're much more physical. When I watch Ole Miss play, I go, that's a well-coached team with decent talent. When I watch Mississippi State play, I go, that's a well-coached team that will beat you up. And that was what kind of worried me about Memphis. They haven't really played that yet. Like, the closest thing they got to that was probably UVA. And, I mean, what? Mississippi State beats UVA by 20. You know what I mean? Like, I thought Mississippi State does what UVA wants to, but with better players and more of them. Like, they're deeper. When you watch Ole Miss play, like, they can keep it within 10 against just about anybody. Whether they're playing Purdue or whether they were playing who did they play? It was like Southern, maybe. They played like a team in the 300s, and it was like a 10-point game. Let's see. They beat Queens 262, 80-62. Southern was a 13-point win. They beat the hell out of Southern Miss, beat the hell out of Lindenwood, and they beat the hell out of Louisville. But it's like they don't just roll the ball out and smoke folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so I was like, I just kind of think in the same way State can pop Memphis, I think Memphis can return the favor to Ole Miss. But at the same time, I was like, I don't know. Like, what we could be watching is that the SEC, even the middle of the SEC is
that good.
Yes.
And I think this weekend is really big, Jeff, for everybody, because I feel like Ole Miss needs to win, but I feel like Memphis really need to win or going to really want to win. I know Penny and them are going to show more effort. I think he's having a meeting this week like, look, I play like how coaches
I don't think it's going to be fun to practice this week.
That's what I've been saying. I think it's one of them things where, like, look, I play 5-6 players. You know that coach give a speech like, give me the five people who want to play. Okay, if I got to take more timeouts, I'm not going to play anyone who don't want to play. I don't want to play anyone have any effort, any heart, and I think you just got to go about it. And to circle around to what you said, I try to be like this in life, Jeff, where nothing is never too bad as you think it is. Nothing is never good. So you try
yes.
to, and like you say with the fans, and my thing with it, even when somebody like you say, we went to Malu, oh, let me book a ticket. But I just can't believe, because I'm not on Facebook much, and you know when I get on there during a game here and there, the Tiger group pop up first, and the game could just start you up. They all down 6-0, and somebody be like, I told you this. I'm like, oh, well, y'all wait.
I will say, even though if you're just looking at the score, and like with you, you've seen so many basketball games. If you look and you see they're down 12, you know, all right, man, I've hit a couple of shots, it could swing.
The three-point line is out now. It's not 19.
When you are a fan, if you would have seen the manner that it was like when they were down 12, it felt like they were down 30. And now, like, that's what people are responding to. But it also comes back to the same thing. It's just, we just get so dramatic with Tiger basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is, like, as bad as it was in the first half, if they hit three more shots, well, all of a sudden we go to the break, and that game's single digits. All of a sudden, what if Mississippi State gets a little tighter? Maybe they come out, start pressing. Like, you know, game flow matters, but I feel like
Mississippi State just plays so harder, man. I don't know how that happened with so much energy. I know me and you tried to give an excuse about, you know, Arkansas State. Maybe it was a gloomy day?
Yeah, it was a sleepy Sunday.
Sleepy Sunday. But You know what's funny about Saturday games? See, I have to deal with all this. I coach AAU, so we have 9 o'clock,
you know,
10
nothing
o'clock.
Nothing but sleepy Saturdays.
Yeah, yeah. And then Sundays is even earlier because everybody got to get back home and go to
get
school
out of town, yeah.
And stuff like that. We don't have the big budget with the academics and the charter flights. We literally have to get in vans and drive back or fly black regular. It was interesting because you got guys who make $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $600,000 on the team that made that. And I watched the team manager or whatever, so it started getting late by 11 or 12. Coach, they went back. You would have appreciated this about Jan and them. And like even the players, you know, with them being grown, they took up phones. Like, that's something I didn't think you could do as much as I'd be around. I didn't think.
It's not even I think lots of coaches would love to be able to do that. What's shocking about that is they actually can't. Normally you do that, like kids are like, I'm leaving.
Yeah. Yeah, they took up phones. Probably it wasn't early. Probably was around 12. Because they even, let me ask you this. One of them, I'm not going to tell you who, they started asking me questions like, Hurd, I guess they're not used to this early game. When you have games at 8, 9, 10, Hurd, do you usually wake up the kids? And I told them, I said, well, y'all have a luxury I don't have because, you know, y'all at
you're staying in the West.
Y'all at the, well, even if we stayed there, I was like, because our AAU budget is different, we have to get hotels that serve free breakfast, or we have to get up and maybe take all the kids to Mac. We can't eat three Western meals per day on the AAU trip. That would be like $1,000 in just
you
food.
You are very familiar with Hampton Inns.
Yeah. We go a little more upscale, like Embassy Suites and, you know, a little more
upscale. Manager Special,
Hilton and stuff like that. So, but they were confused because I think most college games, 95% of them, start after 2 p.m.
Well, I mean, like, it to me, it's like we've had a game that started at 10 Central, but it was 11 a.m. Eastern. I can't remember what time that game in Maui technically started, but, you know, it was like 10 or 11.
So Memphis had a few.
Yeah, Memphis has had at least three. And so, yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, to me, it's just one of those situations where stop focusing maybe game to game. And, like, let's think of it this way. They've basically played a third of their season so far. They're 9-3. Having seen what they are, I felt like they were a tournament team coming into the year. I feel slightly better after seeing a third of the season. I think they look better than I expected, and I thought they were going to be a solid team. Like, that's kind of how I'm looking at it. It's like, all right, now when we get to the next third, and that's going to be a lot of conference play. Like, are they going to mess around and lose a bunch of games they shouldn't? Well, now all of a sudden you're right back to where you were last year. But that hasn't happened yet. Like, let's at least give them the opportunity to show, like, hey, maybe they do take care of business in league play.
No, for sure. Like you said, give it an opportunity. Let's get to the end of January. Then we could have some substance behind it. We could have numbers behind it. We could have a resume behind it. And we say, oh, this is where we're going at. But right now, it was one loss. And even this weekend, as long as it's much more competitive, I don't think it's the end of the world with a loss. Because we would be coming in, did they fully kick us out yet? Like they usually are, we 25, but they probably kicked
us out. Come on, you knew the answer.
Yeah.
Let's see. The other problem, though, is like, I don't know how I would like, that's the other thing. It's like, I feel like 10 through 40, it's like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ranking, like, in the end, like, Illinois gets back in after falling out, but they lost to Tennessee. It's like, should have lost at the buzzer to Tennessee, knock you out. I don't know. Baylor's back in. Arkansas creeps in. UCLA drops after a loss. Purdue dropped after a loss. San Diego, that's the other thing. Mississippi State wasn't in there, and they're now up to 19. It's just like they flopped places. Like, Mississippi State went in there, Memphis dropped out.
Ole Miss is.
Ole Miss is 16 in the AP, and they are 16 in the coaches.
So, you remember what I told you about that 16 we laughed about?
And listen, I'm telling you.
They always play the Nick. You remember Clemson was 16.
It's the team we don't really know. And I'm telling you, Ole Miss is the perfect candidate for that 16 that we're talking about. I have no idea. Like, I saw them play BYU and look pretty good. Still have no idea if BYU is any good. They took Purdue to the wire, got beaten overtime. Like, that was a competitive game. But, I mean, other than that, like, they beat Louisville. But, I mean, Louisville's sitting here at, what, 7-5?
They was pretty good in some tournament while Malu was going on early on that I think they made it to the championship.
Yeah, they beat Iowa. IU, West Virginia, and they lost to Oklahoma.
That was like the Atlantics or something.
Yeah, it was. Let's see which one that was. Yes, it was the Atlantis. Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we still haven't talked Grizzlies. Grizzlies and Clippers tonight. Want to get Herd's thoughts on what we're seeing from the Grizz. Talk a little NFL and more in hour number two. Stick around and listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Zen Sports just picked the grand prize winner for the November Big Game Sweepstakes, and they're running it back in December with the Big Game Sweepstakes College Edition. This time, instead of going to the big game for the pros, they're giving you a chance to go to the very first big game in the new college football tournament. With a grand prize of $10,000 cash and two tickets to the biggest college football game of 2025, yes, the one in Atlanta, and the ability to earn entries on every bet you place in December, it doesn't get much better than this. If you don't win the grand prize, don't worry. You still have a shot to win one of 10 smaller prizes, which grant you $1,000 towards college football playoff games in 2025. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to zensports.com/sweepstakes for a full list of rules and earn a $100 no danger first wager on your first bet. Make sure you use promo code JeffTN at signup, JeffTN. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. No danger first wager. Limited to plus 500 odds to qualify. Terms and conditions do apply. A qualifying wager for a wager entry must have minimum odds for any leg in the entry of at least minus 250 or worse American odds. For clarity's sake, a wager at minus 251 odds does not qualify. Head to zensports.com/sweepstakes for contest terms and conditions. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Let's get into the list. Ja Morant. Yeah, I heard we got the good news that after missing the Hawks game, after he came out of the Warriors game with the injury, Ja Morant does seem likely to play tonight, if I could pull up the full status. Grizzlies and Clippers tonight. Grizzlies currently about a 5.5-point favorite. Ja not even listed on the injury report tonight. Jay Huff out with the ankle sprain. Gigi Jackson out with the fifth metatarsal. Marcus Smart out with a index finger injury. Vince Williams Jr. still out with the ankle. However, we did get some good news late last week that he's trending to about 3 to 4 weeks on his return. But we also got news from the NBA communications team earlier today in which they tweeted the following with a graphic. 7 of the 10 most viewed players across NBA social will be in action on Christmas Day. Tune into ABC beginning at noon Eastern time for the day of NBA hoops. There are 3 players not included. However, this is kind of what, it's one of those ones where I'm not surprised. I also like want to kind of know, it's like, all right, what's the process? They're collecting all social platforms and multiplying it. The number one most viewed player of 24-25, LeBron James. Okay, no shock there. 623 million views. Number two is Ja Morant at 538 million views. He is ahead of Victor Wembanyama at 402 million, Steph Curry at 350 million, LaMelo Ball 237 million, Giannis Antetokounmpo at 227, Klay Thompson 189, Nikola Jokic 182, Jason Tatum 175, Anthony Davis 169 million. I guess the first question is, we know Ja is must-see, but it is kind of alarming to even see at number two. And the distance between him and LeBron is closer than the distance between him and Wembanyama at three.
Man, this is unbelievable. This just shows how much star power Ja has and how much he's must-see TV, and you don't want to take your eye off of him because, you know, we don't want to make this a great day, but we know what he'd been through.
Sure.
And not really even playing last year. And the comeback, he's still the most anticipated guy. Whether you liked him, you didn't, whether you was against whatever. Like you say, he's a lot closer to LeBron than he is. And then when you look at Steph Curry, I'm like, he's almost 200 million viewers in front of Steph Curry, which yeah. – You know, it had been a lot of years, 5-year gap almost, that Steph Curry was the most watched a little player in the world compared to the numbers at that point. So, man, that's huge for Ja Morant. You know, at the same time, I know a lot of people in Memphis are mad about, you know, with him being 2 on the list and he's not playing on that day. But, you know, like our co-host and worker told us earlier.
Connor, yeah.
Yeah, Connor, he made a good point that the schedule has been out. They can't wait till the communication team come, you know, like in December. And then it ain't like they say, okay, we're not going to make the schedule for Christmas until we see who's the top 10, you know. So,
right.
Yeah.
It's not like they picked it last week. This isn't like college football when they announce like the TV times for next week. Like they had to pick it to start the season. And also, like, I kind of think part of like the job punishment was like putting him on the bench for a little bit from the league. This is, though, the question I have, because I know he's one of your guys and you know him well. Tim Murray and I were talking about this yesterday. We're obviously getting to the tail end. Who knows when it ends with LeBron, with Steph, with KD. But we're on the back nine of them being the focal point of the league.
Mm-hmm.
Is Ja the best chance at an American superstar? And really what we thought it kind of boiled down to, it's either Ja or Anthony Edwards, because even though I'm in the camp that like Jason Tatum's probably underappreciated as a basketball player, yeah, you can't deny like there's like that's just not gonna be a superstar. Like if he's going to be the league, like the league is just gonna be, it's winning's gonna be his story, mm-hmm, greatness. And mm-hmm, it's like, but it's not gonna be the personality, it's not gonna be what he makes you feel when you watch him. It's just being great and winning all the time.
Yeah, and we're going American players only.
Right, that's what, and I'm specifying American.
The top two will be Ja and Ant-Man. Then these other two should be there, but for some reason they're not. Jason Tatum and Devin Booker, although their skill set is just as good, it's like you feel like Ja and Ant-Man grasp the TV, the kids, the community more of the culture. They just kind of have a certain swagger where Devin Booker and Jason Tatum, which I think talent-wise, they're both
undeniably great players.
But I'm with you because, of course, you say American because, you know, of course, we know what women and Luka are doing and some people.
Well, what's also surprising
is Alexander.
Luka wasn't even on the top 10.
You know what? That do make me, first of all, congratulations to John people on here. But that's when I get a little skeptical about lists, is because then I come out with lists who say that Luka and Whammy and what's my guy name from OKC?
SGA.
List where he was, you know what I mean? And I'm like,
no, it's like, the problem is like they send this tweet out and I'm like, well,
you make a crew flyer.
Well,
I have to watch
I was
out
like,
for that.
Well, like, first off, it is legit from their account, but it's like, okay, what's the source? What are we combining? It's like, it's across most viewed players across NBA social. So I'm guessing it's their own social accounts.
All of them put together.
Correct.
And maybe some people post more than others.
Sure.
Because this is, and this is no disrespect, but this is where I kind of raise my eyebrow at. As great as the Mavericks are, you telling me there's more people who watching Klay than Kyrie and Luka?
No. The other thing I was wondering is Klay. I wonder if, like, with some of it with Klay is, like, the return games. Like, how much of those just get juiced? Like, A, to your point, how much of this is, like, guys that just get featured on the NBA page more?
Okay.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, so, but, like, to your point, I would imagine some of these numbers for Klay were juiced by the Warriors games.
Because Anthony Edwards not on here either.
No.
And like, guess what? I love Klay, but I'm going to be real. You know, you're a sports guy too, Jeff. Let's say I'm around kids all day. We follow up. I just don't hear, now granted, I'm not with everybody in the world, but I just don't hear too many kids today saying, let me go see what Klay Thompson is doing, or let me go pull up his socials, or let me go, like they like him, you know what I mean? But it's like,
I mean, I was wondering if it was literally just number of games played, but like Kyrie's played 25. All right, I wanted to pull up. All right. Klay's played 24. But I'm with you because part of this to me implies, like, in the end, why do I think Ja can have a higher star power than Jason Tatum when it's very obvious of who knows whether or not Ja is ever going to be as accomplished of a player as Tatum? Mm-hmm. I mean, Tatum's got one title. The odds are if Ja gets one, like, that is like a Hall of Fame-esque career.
For sure.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, so who knows if he even gets there? But I think part of it is if you turn on a Ja Morant game, there's probably going to be at least one moment where you go, how did he do that? And to your point, though, about Kyrie, it's like, Kyrie for sure makes you say that. Like, when Kyrie's on offensively, there's very few guys that are as skilled of a player as he is. I can understand maybe where, like I think Luka's a great player, but his game is not predicated on making you go, wow.
Mm-hmm.
But Klay doesn't have the same. By the same token, it's like even when Klay was young and didn't have knee problems, like it wasn't like his game was athleticism. His game was he can defend a lot of different guys because of his size and length, and he was an unbelievable shooter.
For sure, and I'm looking at the list more Kevin Durant, a lot of people not on here. But now this is why, and you taught me this, where it has helped me too. Let me tell you this, Jeff. It has helped me with my family, friends, barbershop. I don't say anymore, this is why I disagree. I say, this is my pushback. And people are accepting me more, so thank you for that. So this is my pushback to that.
Because it's not, you want to make sure that people know it's not, because oftentimes it really is pushback, not truly disagree. Because like if I say I disagree, like we just don't see eye to eye.
You're talking about the whole sentence.
Correct.
But if pushback like, meaning some things,
correct.
Like at Thanksgiving,
like I do
it's
see,
certain items
correct.
I like, but
exactly.
So-and-so don't make no good potato salad
right.
or whatever. Okay.
I'm not putting the whole dish down. You know what I mean? Like, there are parts that I like. So, maybe there's some onions and mushrooms in there, and that's just not for me.
Oh, I found out who made it.
Yeah,
I like potato salad, but it's only certain people,
yeah,
right? Sure. So, this is my pushback. I do get wild, and a lot of people that I'm around kids get wild by Luka. Even though it's not the Duncan, that's what makes it worse. This slow guy is tearing these folks up, and the step backs that he makes from almost half court and in the playoff, how he has destroyed teams. Because to me, the Mavericks, it's easy to say now, great. No one ever said they had a great roster, and they made it all the way to the
– We were already crowning Anthony Davis as the – or not Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards as the next Michael Jordan.
For sure.
And then he beat him in five.
For sure.
No, I will say this. I'm a Luka guy. I do understand the parts of his game that people don't like. But I'm with you.
And the boy don't play no defense.
When you watch him play, his control, handle, and even though, like you said, he's not a great athlete, he's a better athlete than you think, and he uses his body as well as anyone.
No, offensively, I have never seen someone that slow with that much confidence. I don't watch him in person a few times. I don't watch the million games on TV. Luka Doncic is like unstoppable at times. I mean, range from anywhere on the court, he posts up. Whether you understand his language or stuff, Luka Doncic slick has an attitude like he's from Memphis or stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He talks mess.
No, and he never stops.
Now, the only thing I take from him is I've seen, especially it happens in the playoffs, where people literally switch on him. And when I say boy, I'm saying in the sports world, not in his ground. The boy don't play no defense for most of the year. Like, literally, you know, Jason Kidd had to call him out. Like, now maybe he's trying more this year, but.
Well, I think it's honestly, to your point about Ja, like, a big part of, like, why I think Ja's better this year is Ja's playing better defense.
Ja playing defense. At one point, people were saying Ja, but at least Ja tried. Like, Luka, you make a move or two, coach. He's not finna re-ingest you or whatever like
that. No, I guess the problem I've always had with the Luka defense narrative is, how many guys in the NBA, because I'm with you, if we're just talking roster, like, yeah, they retooled their roster at the deadline last year and they were better, but that was nowhere near the best team in the West roster-wise. I always am hesitant to go, guy can't play defense versus guy doesn't play defense, because no one is asked to do what he's asked to do on the offensive end.
That's true.
Like, and so how much of it is exerting all the energy there. And then also, I think he was hurt also last year. And so, like, I think if you are not a great athlete and you're hurt, that's going to show up way more on defense than it is on offense, because I have no idea. When I'm on offense, I'm in control.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm on defense, you're in control. And so, but, like, yes, he's clearly not a great defender.
No. So, he make you say, wow, nobody like Ja. But on which I say Ja and Anthony Edwards are the two of, honestly, hope don't no stuff happen with anyone off court before me. And I was saying this, you can go look on my company. You're not on Instagram, but like when all the sites come up and we all come in, not say anybody can see my comment. You know, them sites would be 30,000 comments. But I have said first of all, this is my two favorite young players. You know, I have a personal relationship with that, somewhat with Ja, you know, certain people in Ja family. My backcourt for LA that will make my, for you, is Ja Anthony Edwards. That's my USA backcourt. And people were saying because of what Ja done got into, they have Halliburton and a lot of other people in front of him. Hopefully everything is cleared up by then.
See,
and
I think you ready for my hot take?
Yeah.
I think Ja's got a better chance in 2028 than Ant does.
And automatically on it because he played on the other team. He's automatic on it. Yeah, he's on. And they say he already turned down 26.
I also think that by 2028, Ja's likely to be the biggest American Nike guy.
That's true.
And Ant's Adidas, right?
Yeah, he is. But he's one of the few people that if you're not with Nike, you have to be. No disrespect to Jaylen Brown. Like Ant, because he's just good. Ant is like one of those dudes, like a kind of like a. Well,
I think the only way that doesn't come true is health.
Yeah.
Because like we've seen this year, like Halliburton's a good player. Halliburton isn't Ja.
No, but people love him.
They do, but at the same time, it's like that's how you maybe get on the team that you shouldn't be on, and you get an Olympic medal when you get to basically like I appreciate he leaned into it. He's like, I didn't do anything.
He's like,
this has showed up for, you know.
But Steve Kerr also didn't play Jason Tatum. So it's also about the you know who should be on that team too if everything keep going like it should with I know he won't never hardly win the NBA with Kerr. Melo Ball, if he keep playing, should be considered to be on that team too.
Well, I mean, I was surprised that he still has the cachet he does.
No, I'm not. The kids love his following. Since he's been little, the teenager and the kids
they mess with
Melo Ball. So that one didn't shock me. He come with the swag, the car. You know, he put his lifestyle out there. You know, he's from California. You know, ever since his brothers and his daddy started, so he's been looked at since he was about in sixth grade. So, no, the kids, they love Melo Ball.
All right, Grizzlies and Clippers tonight. Again, you can hear pregame at 6:30. Tip-off with Eric at 7 p.m. We're going to take another break. When we come back, Herd, I'm going to pick your brain on this. So, Darian Mensa, who was at Tulane, he was their starting quarterback, announced he was going into the portal. Well, we found out he's going to Duke. Wait until you hear the number for what he is going to Duke for. And we'll tell you about it after this. And then also, I want to pick your brain about just the entire world of what we're seeing with NIL. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Herd, this story is from John Talty and Chris Hummer of 24/7 Sports. Darian Mensa hit the transfer portal with an eye-popping asking price that perhaps best illustrated what name, image, and likeness has turned into within college football. The Tulane redshirt freshman quarterback had a strong year, throwing for 2,723 yards, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, while leading the Green Wave to a 9-4 record. What follows, however, so to speak, is a situation where money has flooded in from all corners and players hitting the market have never benefited more. According to sources around college football, Mensa received a deal from Duke that is believed to pay him over $8 million over 2 years. A $4 million annual average would make him the highest paid college player in college football history, unofficially. A year ago, the top going rate for a quarterback like Cam Ward, who went from Wazoo to Miami, or Riley Leonard from Duke to Notre Dame, was a little less than half that. In college basketball, A.J. Dibansa?
Yeah.
Dibansa received, BYU is expected to pay Dibansa over $5 million for one likely year of service. This is what I wanted to get into it. So I think the real question is, why has the money gone up? Because there's also one of these situations where, do I think he's probably getting $8 million over 2 years? I'm suspecting that number's high. It's still clearly a lot of money.
Yes.
He's still going to get millions of dollars. So we can debate whether or not that number's accurate or that's, because whenever you get the final number and you see that an agent has contributed to the story, well, the agent wants the highest number out there possible. Like, I totally understand that. But with that being said, it's an insane number. And I guess this would be the first question I have for you. Have you heard
even over last year this time, that money's still going up?
Yes. Like you say, though, you have to look into it because you have the agent.
Right.
You have certain stuff people want to get out. And you have some deals that I think people are going to see and treat the rest of the schools how the rest of the league is treating the Browns owner. Like, well, we're not finna let it get to that. But the difference in college is NFL, you have the good, you know, the billion-dollar good boys club and stuff where they're on one in sync. I don't think Oregon is finna be on the same page with Tennessee. It's like, no, I'm finna just try to outbid them. So
right.
They have more leverage because it's more schools, and really they all looking out for their self. It's not like they're looking out for the – they all want to win at any cost. As good as this kid is, I think it's one of them things where at this point you just want a good quarterback, because I'm not saying he's going to be the best ever, but he probably would be very serviceable. Now, if I got money like that, Duke, I mean, I know you, since he already on the market, get him out the way, but I think you probably could get anybody in the country at that point, right, outside of what the people just, Michigan, I mean, just did for that other boy. I heard it was.
This seems to me that's going to be the biggest price for a transfer quarterback.
But everybody not in the – it might be some high-level guys that enter the
– No, I mean, that's to your point, like, who all's in there? Like, I think Milroe's going to be in there.
Really?
That'd be my gut.
He got to get more money than him, don't you think?
I bet Jalen Milroe gets at least $4 million, if that's the number.
Yeah,
now, it's only that's for 1 year.
Yeah, but they were saying he was a – when the year started out, they were saying he was a Heisman candidate.
Oh, no. I mean, I suspect that he will go for more. Now, I don't know. The question will be, like, it's going to be a harder, like, fit. Like, Jalen Milroe is going to probably have a smaller group of places he's willing to go. And when you have fewer options, maybe that keeps it down. But, I mean, to your point, this is quoting the story. I'm looking at the books from last year to this year, and it's not even close, said a player, SEC player, director of player personnel. You can take a contract and multiply it by two. That's why that's what you're paying everybody. Everybody thinks they have money now, and they'll figure it out on the back end. So everybody is trying to play fast. I mean, it also seems like inevitably what's likely to happen is some guys are going to start sitting out because they haven't gotten paid.
Yeah.
Because people think they're going to have money. The other hypotheses that Talty and Hammer come up with, schools that didn't have much NIL money before are using their future rev share allotment to spend big. So they're basically like spending what they're eventually going to spend on players. They're trying to do that now. And then schools with large collective budgets are spending their annual allotment now before the House rules on fair market value go into effect. NIL deals in the post-House era will be filtered through a clearinghouse. So you are making big promises now because the – I assume you're trying to get grandfathered in of like, it was legal today, therefore it'll count then. But even if it's not then, that's insane to me. That, I mean, again, he's a good player, but he's nowhere near like the best quarterback available. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Herd, for today's Tell Your Story, Not The Story, I got to go to Trey McBride. After the Cardinals lost yesterday at Charlotte to the Panthers, caught on video just saying, "We're sorry, AF," except he said it. All the good stuff. Of course, they fought back to get it to overtime. All right, my man. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you, buddy. Appreciate you doing this. We'll see you in 2025. For Dennis, for Herd, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show with Connor's coming up next.